Welcome to the award-winning Disrupt Education Podcast, a podcast that explores the latest innovations and trends in the world of education. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser, along with Allie Privet.
We're both educators. Okay, one of us is a former educator, and we were tired of the status quo and wanted to create a space where we could have conversations that aren't always in the public eye. Join us as we talk to other disruptors, educators, researchers, and thought leaders who are pushing the boundaries and challenging the way we were taught.
We're thrilled you're here to be part of a not-so-underground movement to disrupt and amplify the good pieces in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a lifelong learner, there's a story for everyone on Disrupt Education. We're here each week to bring you stories from all over the globe of people doing education differently.
So buckle your seatbelt, get on the disruptor plane as we climb to altitude before letting this episode free fall straight to your ears.
Hey, it's Peter Hostrasser here. And hey, I want to tell you something about how I am actually disrupting education. Yeah, I'm moving forward with portfolios on spikeview.com. If you head over to spikeview.com, basically what we're teaching our students to do is actually to create a skills-based portfolio around their interests, their passions, and what they're good at. It's called the strength-based approach. So basically what we do is we build up our students and have them understand what they're good at and what they're interested in by the time they leave our high school. But it doesn't stop there. It's a K through gray. So if you want your students to continue to build their strengths in this day and age where resumes are dying, and to show more and more about who they are, what they do, and they actually control all the data behind it, guess what? SpikeView is the place for you. Head over to spikeview.com, check it out. Let me know if you need anything, because I tell you what, I have used this with my own family and my students. Check out spikeview.com today. Welcome back to the Disrupt Education Podcast. Allie Privet is here with me. Peter Hostrasser, thank you all for joining in. This is our summer recap. And actually, for those who don't know the podcasting world, or you know, the world of sometimes you record things earlier and then you take time off. Basically, Allie has went a little more extreme than me, but we stopped podcasting in June, I believe, or maybe early June. No, yeah, it was June. And we took all of July off, and now we're into August. Let's talk about that. Welcome back to the interweb slightly, Allie. You've made some changes. Let's start there, right? I think summer's a time of refreshing and where people start to reconnect with themselves and recharge. What happened? Talk us through.
I mean, a lot happened. And also, you know, in the social media world, the online world, nothing happened. So it was this dichotomy, so to speak. But I don't know about our listeners and, you know, their stance on social media and, you know, how engaged or online you are. But where I was at, and even, you know, you and I with Go, Go, Go with the podcast every week, you at some point as a creator, as someone who has an online presence, I know I felt like I needed a break. Mm-hmm. And I had not felt that growing up in kind of the social media bubble, right? It kind of like creeps in and it starts taking more of your time. And then I started a business that put myself more online, and then you're trying to learn like how to master the online space and all of this. And at some point, and I think this applies for schools too, and that's really what I kept thinking about when I wasn't plugged into a screen every day, is how much power there is in presence and how schools and education, like learning something, the push has been like, oh, I'll just a little bit more technology, a little bit more video, a little bit more. And over time, right, it becomes all consuming. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say like it if anybody wants, you know, more information about like the full break and everything, I'll be probably sharing more about it as time goes on. But it really came back to, because I think summer, a lot of schools and those in the education system think about taking a break, but maybe don't. And or in the school year, people think about like, you know, doing less. They ideate about like, how can we simplify stuff? And they, I feel like, go to these online systems and everything. But what about this idea of unplugging, going offline? I heard about all these companies out west that they're building all these online systems and infrastructure and cloud stuff for like manufacturing and big business. And now they are looking for manual systems that are offline because of increases in power outages and the cloud and the infrastructure online is not meeting their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you apply that to yourself, is the online space and everything that we're building around it meeting the needs of our students, of our teachers, of education, right? Like,
right.
So those are some initial thoughts about the unplug. There's so much more though.
I'm all for more field trips, less technology, always. There's no doubt in my mind, students are more engaged when they're in person. Now, I'm lucky enough to teach in a major metropolitan area. You know, we have Chicago and the surrounding burbs. And I've seen it, you know, front and center where students, we've gone down to marketing agencies. We've hit Hyatt. We've even had like, you know, even people coming in, like in school field trips and things like that. Less technology. And I think it's more engaging. And I think if there are school leaders out there, the toughest thing about field trips versus technology, in my opinion, is the way that you set them up, the way that's funded, the preparation is obnoxiously like inefficient to do something in person. And obviously technology is an easy switch, right? It's like, well, let's just go watch a video about da da da, or go on to this marketing agency's Instagram or whatever. But I think our kids are sleeping on that, right? I think I'm sleeping on that. No one really likes, I mean, okay, it's like a 2-second message and you're done. But when you're experiencing it, when you're, I go back to, you know, when we went down to Hyatt, and this was years ago, and I think it was like 2015, and they took us into their corporate building and we went all the way up, right, to the top of the building. We got to see, hear, smell, look, feel everything that people at that level do for a major organization. You cannot get that. I mean, you can't get that with technology. Even with VR, there's places that you can't get that. So, you know, I kind of thought about that as you were out on your trip. I kind of went on a few trips as well. By the way, northern Wisconsin is very lovely. I was up by Appleton on Lake Winnebago, and my daughter loves to fish. You can't do that on a game. And I didn't, you know, I mean, we fished years ago, and she was the bass champion, hauling out, all kinds of bass from the, you know, we were just catching and releasing. And yeah, I mean, those, I think going back to what I said, like getting schools where there's field trips, I think that's why the homeschool push is going so much bigger. I think when you have a freer schedule, we heard it from our previous students. We want more. We want more opportunities. We want hands-on. I don't know. That's kind of what, you know, I've gotten out of the last few weeks. You know, just kind of thinking about, you know, where you were, what you were doing, what I was doing. There were times my son, who is 18, you know, he's very tech heavy, you know, he loves to build computers, et cetera, et cetera. We were just sitting, you know, outside and just staring over the lake, which, by the way, if anybody ever gets up, that's a huge lake. I had no idea. Like, you can see the horizon on some parts of that. It's insane. But just sitting there, you know, and contemplating his thoughts. And I just felt very good about that, you know, myself included. Plus, I had a few cigars and a beer here and there. But hey, you know, whatever.
Hey, summer living.
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It's just incredible what not being plugged into this online world can do. And I, you know, it's summer isn't, when this comes out, summer will be, you know, close to ending, so to speak. The school year will be ramping up. But that doesn't mean that, you know, oh, well, we just have to scrap or we can't make any changes this school year. It's never too late to be like, you know what? This next week, we're going to do all of our lessons without a screen and see what happens. And, or, you know, we're really going to dig into what it looks like, you know, reading everything with a physical book. And, you know, I just think there are so many opportunities for education to, quote unquote, like, I mean, go backwards. But this is something that I've said to people that I have personally trained, as someone who enjoys weightlifting and weight training, is sometimes you have to regress to progress. Like, in order to move forward, you actually have to go backwards, because you have to fix like your form or like the types of movements that you're doing to build. Sometimes you have to build a weaker muscle in your body that helps assist other muscles in order to, like, your weak point is what's going to hold you back. And so if you have to go backwards and work on something, quote unquote, smaller, but that overall flourishes and makes everything better. I had this whole afternoon where I was sitting and I was thinking about, man, I remember in junior high, we had keyboarding class. And, you know, it was a special room with the computers. The other class, there was only like a couple computer rooms in the junior high. And, you know, not everyone even took that class. And I remember like sitting on the keyboard and learning how to type and everything. And it was, it started there. And then I remember in eighth grade and ninth grade, English class would go to the library, go to these computer labs, and we would start doing more things on the computers. And then I remember in high school in like 10th, 11th, and 12th grade that more teachers were having us go to the computer labs to do stuff on them. And then in college, right? Oh, I had my own laptop and now I'm doing even more things. And it was still a little antiquated. There really was the start of social media and Facebook and everything. And so then, oh, my phone now can connect to the internet in college. And then, oh, these apps can be on my phone. And it's like this, you don't really feel the increase when it's incremental. But now it's literally you wake up and you can be online the entire day. Mm-hmm. And it get a million different opinions about everything. And you can learn anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays, like all the information is exploded and available to you.
Right.
But when we hear the students, and right, they're saying like, they want it to be quieter. They want it to be less, like, in order to do more. Mm-hmm. They're feeling that way because guess what? They got thrusted now, this current generation, they are digital, it's not nomads, but they're fully integrated into the digital tech. They didn't grow up with it. They didn't have this incremental build. It's just mm-hmm. been there.
Right.
Their whole life. I don't even know many young people who have ever been unplugged. What a concept. Unless it was forced by like their parents or those like guardians, or they were in a camp or something. Doesn't that feel like off to you? Because like you and I grew up offline.
Right. What you explained there was a little bit, well, I'm older. So my last course in my undergrad was Introduction to the Internet. So, you know, I never, outside of being on the educator part of things, I never really, even in my master's degree, there's a lot of conversations. It wasn't quite evolved. And that was like 2005, 2006 when I finished my master's degree. And I've been back to a few classes. I did a whole class online for my CTE training, which honestly was absolutely easy. I mean, it was way easier. I didn't really like it. I had to do it though, because I was going on the trip to overseas in the Switzerland with the EF tours that basically started the Disrupt Education movement. However, I do feel that. I see that a lot. I think there's a lot of different things attributing to, like, so when teachers started taking students to the lab, let's go back to that, which is a very key moment. I think, you know, as an educator, it was a load off of, it was my break, not a break from students, but like, it, I think just the way that, you know, our kids are just railing through this. Like Gabby talked about this on her podcast, like there's just too much, and even teachers need break and are just like, okay, just take a day, go do like a internet search, you know? And I remember those, I remember the scavenger hunts and stuff. And it felt like a day where as a teacher, you could breathe for a moment. But, you know, I don't think it's just lazy educators or lazy students. I just think the system overall, and this is what we're hearing from our own students, is that it's just too packed. There's too much. It's like emulating what you're saying. So if you look on your phone or all the social medias, there's too much information. We really haven't taught students how to actually disseminate and go kind of in there and navigate that information. So they're going to go to the lowest hanging fruit, which is entertainment, and whatever that entertainment is for them. It could be TikTok, it could be, you know, whatever. And then it's phase forward. So I totally hear that. I also know, listening to a lot of my students, especially in our internship courses, I had a kid who I would easily say he's addicted to his phone. And when we got to the, you know, maybe middle or end of the class time, December, even into May, you know, I was asking, what can I do better? Because that's what I do. And I think a lot of great teachers do that, right? We ask, what can we do better to engage you? And the young man was like, I really like this class because there's just conversation. Even though he didn't like always initiate or be involved in the conversation, he just liked being around real people. And I think that's what we're hearing. I think that's the social emotional learning and all these things, which that has become kind of the Xerox of copier, right? Like, we don't really know what that means, but I really just think it's, and it goes back to those human relationships. Gabby said it, Patrick said it, Malcolm is going to say it. Like, there's all these different things where it's relationships. And I think we need to really understand different ways in the day, the schedule. I keep going back to the schedule of the day, in where we can have just deeper relationships with students in learning communities in general, where we can have these conversations without technology. That's what kids want. That's what kids want. I mean, they've told us, right? I mean, I don't know, Allie. Yep. That's where I'm going. I like it.
I was at this, it was a family camp in the middle of the Montana mountains, no service. Mm-hmm. They had a drip Wi-Fi that, you know, for adults that, you know, if they had to check work or whatnot. I mean, I had my phone completely off, and many parents set the expectation for their kids that their phones would be off. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was particularly difficult for the teenagers because they are so used to posting and being on their phone. And there was actually some really great conversations that happened around, like, when, you know, the teenagers would maybe not make the right decision that their parents wanted them to make. They went and got their phone, and then they were on it to check, you know, whatever they felt like. But at some point, I remember it was like the Tuesday or the Wednesday, they all got off of it. Mm-hmm. And leaned into like the spirit of the camp, which is to unplug and be basically surrounded by nature, and you're just like, if there's activities, the younger kids, right? So those like without phones, maybe like 10 and under, they are literally living their absolute best life. I mean, there's horseback riding and they have a zip line and a pool, and there's a river to go and walk through and just explore nature. There was crafts. I mean, they had, you know, of course, counselors and stuff for the kids to just play with. They had kittens, you know, the kids are like, you know, just mafying these poor kittens that are the kittens. I've never seen such cuddly cats in my life. But I guess that's just like how they're raised around kids, just like manhandling them. Mm-hmm. But there was this camaraderie and this, again, this power of presence and being in real time, and the lessons you can learn from that, like going on a hike and being out in nature and being totally unplugged. Mm-hmm. It's just, the experience is, it's irreplaceable nowadays. There's so few places you can even make that environment happen, which tells me that the pendulum is way too far. Mm-hmm. On the tech side, right? Like that is, you know, if you really have to escape by putting yourself in an environment where your children and young people cannot get online, that tells me the access is too easy. Mm-hmm. Right? So now the lessons need to be learned. Again, what you're saying is, okay, you have access to everything. Anything you want to learn and do is literally possible for you online. Mm-hmm. You can plug in and get and find that. But if you don't have discernment, yeah, of how to use the technology and how it can benefit you and what to do with it, you're going to get lost, right? Like this idea of lowest hanging fruit. This is why the socials are so addictive. Mm-hmm. And that's what we kind of, for those listening, okay, we didn't really, we didn't really do a lot of pre-show planning. We're like, let's mm-hmm. just flip the switch and go. Because I was talking about how right before we hit the record button is that like me deleting the socials from my phone made me realize how many notifications were just notifications to get me back on that app.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like there was anything. There wasn't like a new message, or there wasn't even like a new, it was just reminding me that I hadn't even been on it. Like, did you know? I mean, but that's it's like the creep, right? Mm-hmm. The scope creep, you know?
Yeah.
It infiltrates and your brain just, it lights up because, you know, it's a dopamine inducing experience, especially mm-hmm. for young people. I remember thinking when the pandemic hit that those in the middle school to early high school range got it the worst, mm-hmm. because that yeah. is puberty and being thrusted into an online only space, mm-hmm. means that they were set up to have that experience in the most formative time developmentally of their life.
Yeah.
So then to become unplugged from that, it's going to be harder for them. And we're seeing that. Mm-hmm. We're totally seeing that in young people.
Yeah.
And so the detox, the unplugging is real. Okay. And I think schools and education need to think about ways to create more in-person, you know, camp-like experiences, unplugged experiences. And then also reworking this, yeah, you have access to technology, but you know how you said you took that class of intro to the internet?
Mm-hmm.
We need to kind of bring that stuff back.
Right.
Like we just assume because right. it's there that people know how to use it, and they don't,
mm-hmm.
for real intention and purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I one of the things that professor did, he was the head of the communications department. And my major back in Valparaiso University was communications with broadcast journalism. We actually met three times during the class physically, And he made us kind of get on and like feel and understand like what it was. And I thought that was great. You know, we were in like the prehistoric ages of a Zoom, you know, or where people were like typing in and it was, you know, it was what it was. And to your point, I mean, you said a lot of great things in there around, number one, understanding what do these companies really want, right? They want your eyes, they want your ears, they want like you to, you know, pay attention. And I think that's something that, especially in, you know, business and education, which where we are, when I teach, it's about that. Understanding how the companies, every time you look at it, it's a dollar for them. Like you're basically, you're paying them with your time. But I also think like there's a couple of other things that are happening. And I think Gen Y and whatever the next generation is going to be called are starting to figure this out. So and I'm only like basing this off of a couple of things, like a few students that I know who are succeeding in where they want to go. So they have the purpose, right? So you kind of said, you know, you have to have a purpose with technology. And if your purpose is there, then let's go. So let me give you a quick example of where I used it actually in July. Don't mess with my beer. Okay. My kegerator died. Like, so, and I don't have a keg in there right now or anything, but like, you know, it was only like 7 or 8 years old. And I was like, what's up with this? So I got my son and we got on and we started to watch a couple of videos on basically some HVAC stuff. And we figured out, have the piece right here for those that are watching. It's basically this little piece here has a, I'm terrible at what it is, but it's like a disc on the inside and it burns out. And that's all it was. And it was like $7, right? And so we tore it apart and put it back together. My son actually taught me that you can actually take one of these. This is another one that take it apart, take the disc out and put it into another one, you know, like, so we actually used social media to talk about the cheapest way to do it. I guess it would be social media, YouTube, to find out how to do it. Right. So that was one. Another thing that my daughter is doing, and I'm also seeing this with students, but they can't do it in school. And this is why I want to go back to getting kids outside of school or engaged in doing something in school rather than sitting at a desk looking at a screen. She finds out a lot of different things, right? Like what's the new Starbucks? What's the a new brand or how to make these things? This all started back in the day with slime. I don't know if you remember slime, but as a parent, it was the worst thing ever. I'm sure as a chemistry teacher it was awesome because you're making slime, right? So the kids would make, they would do something. So my daughter is doing a lot of meeting up with people. As a matter of fact, I just saw, like, you know, my wife and her went shopping and they went to Starbucks. I'm sure, you know, she knows all these different, but she's actually doing something with the information rather than just sitting there consuming. And so now going back into schools, basically, there's nothing to do in schools other than to regurgitate facts if you're on that, right? Something happened that kind of irked me. Actually, it irked me a lot with my local school district, not the one I work at, but the one my kids go to. They hired a social media communicator person, right? And this stuff really pisses me off, Allie. And here's why. It's not that the school is using social media to connect, da, da, da. Great. Why in the hell is this not a class where students are learning and actually communicating with their community? Why do we have to pay tax dollars to hire somebody when we have a lab right there? This, when you see an opportunity like this, things like this really piss me off. I'm not pissed off a lot, but this stuff really pisses me off. I'm like, why are our kids in high school, middle school, or wherever, not filling these needs? And we talked about it with plumbing. We talked about it with all kinds of things. It's absolute BS to me, and I hate it. And I think if you are a school leader or a lawmaker or anybody on a board out there hearing this, get off your ass and change this, because this pisses me off. And I'm just I'm a taxpayer, but it's like, yeah, you know, sorry, I went off, but ooh, man, that made me mad. So that, I think those opportunities are what we're talking about.
Because, right, like the person being hired, they're checking the box, putting out the stuff, but it could be taught. It could be how to use and communicate. I remember having a lesson. I was in a leader training program, and it was a cohort that was part of the school district I was working for, and they had basically the PR person there doing if you were a leader, a school leader, so a principal or a board member or a district, you know, a official of some kind, you had to go through this training. It's how to respond to the public when they're asking questions about the school district. And I was thinking to myself, there's totally a version of this type of information that students need. You know, I know digital literacy is something that people talk about, and there are tidbits of that in different courses. And I mean, I know with ChatGPT and all these AI type programs, right? There's always been this, you know, trying to prevent kids cheating and everything, but taking it to the next level of, okay, like, how do you create a safe online presence? How do you present yourself to the world? And how do you communicate to the outside world when they want to communicate with you? All of that is layered into this bubble that you're talking about. It's like, okay, the school district wants to present a certain image, a certain communication. You could tear that apart piece by piece. There's so many lessons to be learned. Like, why are those messages being communicated? What's their purpose? You know, what's driving that? You know, obviously it was important enough to the school district to have a full-time person creating that story. And students don't even realize that messaging affects their education experience. All of those pieces, there's infinite lessons to be learned there. And I can totally see why that is a huge missed opportunity. And there's plenty of those, because for whatever reason, we have deemed and put so much red tape on what students can and cannot do. And so the lanes are so narrow. They're so narrow for educators to play in. I mean, like, if you go outside of those lanes, you yourself are potentially in the throes of getting fired or getting, reprimanded, right? So it's like, we've talked about removing the red tape, and that's another example where big missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to encourage people this year. I know we're like kind of ramping up into a school year here, to actually go outside those lanes. Right. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it unbelievably, and going back to what you were saying, it is actually to the point where taking you, your kids, or anybody to a camp and unplugging for a week is actually outside the lane right now. Maybe that's where we need to be. And I think, you know, as an educator, yeah, I have things where students are creating to show out, right? I tweeted this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, but if a school district doesn't trust their students, the students will never trust the school. Like, bottom line, right? Allie, if I don't trust you, you think you're going to trust me? Like, no. So I think we need to bite the bullet and to say, you know what, let's try this. When I first started, and I always go back to Elkhart Memorial, which is now consolidated into Elkhart Schools in Indiana, we had a webpage class that they were responsible for upkeep of the webpage. And they did it. And there were a few misspellings and different things like that. There was no like really dangerous stuff put out there or anything like that, because it was filtered not only through me, but through another person. And it worked. And those kids really, they took ownership of it. And This, I think, if, even if your school doesn't allow this stuff or is throwing red tape at you, you know, you can teach the same thing for 25, 30 years, or you can grow. And I think this year for me, one of the things that I'm going to do is a couple of things. I think we talked about like technology free Tuesdays or something like that. That was one, right, where we have conversations because I'm hearing what the students are saying. And that's a little bit outside the lines. Also, you know, taking risk and connecting students to real life things as much as possible within the classroom or even outside of the classroom. So I think that's what I'm taking away from this summer, the unplug, the plug in. I like what you said about slowing down to speed up. There's going to be conversations and I can't remember his name. He posted it on LinkedIn and it was about having town halls in your classroom and just circling up the desks or whatever you can do. Go outside if you have that capability and just have a conversation with students without phones or anything like that and say, okay, we need to make a ruling here. Or, you know, I love that, you know, in a project that you're working on. Lots that we learned this summer. And I'm not really mad, but I am a little mad. But but you know what? That's going to drive me into the classroom this year and really kind of push and make some things happen. So what are your final thoughts on this summer?
I mean, I can feel the passion in you ramping up to this school year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where change is going to happen, right? You have to find that passion. And I don't find that most people are inspired and passionate from being plugged in all the time. It's almost like this sit and get, consume and be entertained, but it's not helping you create. It's not getting you ramped up and excited and passionate and feeling things, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to, in some way, disconnect from the constant barrage of consuming in order to realize what you are passionate about, what you have feelings around that you want to create and build. And that was a major takeaway for me being offline, because I could listen to my own voice. And I think schools and whatnot, taking a breath this year, you know, putting all these requests for proposals to the side of like integrating more and more technology. What would it look like to be like, how could we do school with less, and putting those resources and increasing the budget for in-person real-time experiences rather than adding more and more online resources and online tech and upping all of that? What if you just said no for it, took a pause and reallocated funds and resources and time and people into more real-time, real offline experiences? I think it would revolutionize education and the opportunities and the possibilities there are endless if you even take a pause to consider it.
Right. I really like that look. And in addition to that, I think this year, even if you are kind of feeling a lot of pressure, because I know there's a lot of administrative pressure, there's a lot of public pressure, et cetera, just take one unit, right? Take a week, just start there, right?
And day.
Start small. Yeah. and disconnect. See how long you can go, right? Just have fun with it as much as possible. Allie, it's great to be back, but kind of unplugged. So yes. Appreciate it. So thank you.
It's awesome being back.
Oh, and yeah, right? We need to just jump right into these things and never, you know, just hit the play button. Let's go. So, but for all of you out there, try to reevaluate your online presence and what you're doing or what you're not doing online. I think, Allie, you had a great example of that in walking through that. Let us know what works for you. If there's anything out there that is offline that you're like, hey, we do this, let's, you know, drop a comment in here. Let's have that conversation, or just connect with Allie or I. We'd love to kind of build on this momentum of slowing down a little bit to speed up. So thank you all for listening to this episode of Disrupt Education. For Ali Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. We'll catch you next time. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Ali Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.